Welcome to the Sparked Podcast, a place to keep your spark bright. Here, I've brought together my most powerful tips from the last decade plus partnering with small businesses on all things leadership, mindset, people, and culture. Here, my approach combines intuitive psychology, strategy, neuroscience, and results-based coaching to unlock your highest potential. Step into your power and truly own your role as a leader so that you can spread the positive impacts of your purpose-led work everywhere. My name is Emma Campbell. I'm a mindset and performance coach for purpose-led leaders. I'm a mama to two cheeky little munchkins. I'm a wine appreciator, nature-obsessed, stubbornly optimistic child at heart. And I'm here to inspire belief in what's possible for you because it is all so possible. I hope that this podcast leaves you feeling lighter, more inspired, and more ready than ever to go out there and take actions on your big dreams and vision. I can't wait to dig in. See you in the podcast. Hello, hello. So thrilled to be here. If you've been tuning into the podcast for a while, you'll know that I am making it my mission to choose a different word for every podcast to describe how I feel about recording this podcast. After hearing a guy on Instagram talk about the fact that, like, too many people introduce their podcast by saying how excited they are. So get ready. I'm going to have to get my synonym dictionary out so that I can start to find some different words. But today I am thrilled to be here. It's been a couple of weeks actually since the last podcast because it's all been happening over in Emma Campbell headquarters. I was in Sydney last week or the week before for the Purpose Conference, which is incredible. Also visiting a client to do a culture strategy follow-up workshop, which was also incredible. Sydney really, really, took me this trip. Like often when I head over there, I feel like it's always a bit of a rush and I don't get to fully take it in. But this trip I had a little bit of, I don't know, I was there for a few nights, so I feel like I had a little bit more margin to kind of like really absorb the city and the feel, and got to hop on the ferry and catch up with some people and kind of like have a bit of a walk around and meet lots of new connections. And I get it. I get why people like Sydney. It was really nice. It's got a beautiful energy to it. And the Purpose Conference also was amazing, inspiring, eye-opening. I learned so much about like capital investment in purpose ventures, about companies who are literally saving our world. And I don't mean that lightly. Like there was one called BCI Carbon who has spent the last decade creating a technology, like a little brick-looking technology that is designed to absorb CO2 emissions in a really, really concentrated way and can then convert those CO2 emissions into material that can be used in like manufacturing and industry. So it's like a fully circular type of technology and business. And that was really, really inspiring to hear. We also had the marketing manager from Polestar, which is like, I think the competitor to Tesla, come and speak to us about their goals to create a fully carbon neutral car by 2050. So really, really cool to hear what people are out there doing. And it was just lovely being around people who, you know, like-minded people, you know, when you just like find your tribe and you just know that you can talk to them in whatever way you want and they'll get it. So that was lovely. Exhausting, tiring, amazing, inspiring, all the things. It was nonstop. And I think like a few weeks ago as well, I was invited to speak at a all-girls school on resilience and creating a resilient mindset as some of their year 12 students step into university study and into their first ever jobs. And I think it's a topic that I've been speaking to clients about a lot lately, like the importance of cultivating a sense of resilience and a resilient mindset and a resilient approach to the challenges in our life. Because from what I have noticed, things aren't going to slow down and it doesn't really look like things are going to get easier. So the only thing that we can ever really change or control is our own perspective and our own mindset and our own approach and response to things, right? Like, we can't control the external world. We can't control what's happening all over the world, some really hard things. And we can't control fires. You know, we can't control the weather. We can't control school fees, grocery fees, wars, all of those things. Like, and if all of our focus stays on those things, it can very quickly bring you down. And I don't know about you, but I can't allow myself to be brought down. You know what I mean? Like, particularly having kids and clients, if I let myself dwell and focus on the things that I can't control for too long, it'll bring me down and then I'm no good to anyone, right? And so my personal belief is that, you know, it's about giving our hearts and our care and compassion to those who are struggling, you know, including ourselves, but not letting ourselves dwell and focus for too long on the pieces of the challenges that we can't control. And to remember to come back to what we can, which is all the things that I'm going to talk about with you today, which is like our mindset, our self-care, you know, the action, all of those sort of things. Because, you know, I feel like when it comes to building resilient teams during these challenging times, there's so much to it. And what I've done is I've brought together the latest research on what the most resilient teams in the world are doing, how they bounce back from hard times, how they recover, and how they keep their heads up. Because while even like, I know we're kind of still going through the pandemic, but like in the peak of it, the research shows that while many organizations were struggling to adapt to the pandemic, there were actually many out there who were down but not out, and that were actually shown to create this incredible approach to adapting and even thriving amid all of this adversity. And I don't know about you, but I wanted to learn about them. Like, what are they doing? Like, what are they talking about behind the scenes? How are they showing up to motivate the team and to work through all this adversity? And some of the top ones that some of the research that I was reading were around Apple, Pandora, Unilever, Bed Bath and Beyond, Formula Britannica. All of these companies were shown to actually experience their best results ever during the pandemic. So I don't know about you, but this kind of said to me that it is possible to thrive in hard times. And I think that's cool to know, isn't it? That it is possible, that it doesn't, just because there are hard times, it doesn't mean that we have to fall with them. And that building resilient teams is really vital to succeeding in an uncertain world. And I believe that resilience, which is, you know, that power to bounce back, is a superpower and a skill and a muscle. Like, you're not born with resilience. You're not one of those, it's not like you either have it or you don't. Like resilience is a muscle that can be strengthened through certain tools. And I'm going to share with you my resilience formula that I developed on the back of all of my research. So a quick little six set of signs that you are resilient and that your team is resilient. Just to kind of do a bit of a check-in, because I think resilience is one of those things that we talk about a lot. I think a lot of people think that they are resilient, but like, what are the signs that you actually are? Here's some really specific things. So sign number one, you are willing to jump outside your comfort zone. You're willing to jump outside your comfort zone and to not take things too personally when things don't go to plan. Sign number two, you've got a good mindset. You've got a strong growth-focused mindset and you've got a good perspective on things. Like you're quite good at seeing the big picture and kind of zooming out and looking at that bird's eye perspective when things kind of get shaken up. And you know that you can't necessarily control everything that life, you know, that life comes with surprises and uncertainty and all of those sort of things. So you've got a good attitude about life. You've also got a good support team around you, like whether that's actually like a work team or whether that's friends, family, psychologists, therapists, whatever. But you've got a good set of support around you and that you know when and how to ask for help when required. Like you're good at leaning on people because we need people, right? We can't do it alone. We're not an island. You've also got sign number four, you've got a strong anchor and a strong purpose to come back to. I think this is a really powerful one. Like you've got a why and a purpose and a driver that helps you come back to center, that helps you know why you're doing the thing in the first place, that kind of gives you that sense of something bigger and something meaningful and something that can help ground you in those tricky moments. Sign number five, you can get silly, you can laugh, and you can find humor and play and silliness in the tricky times. And sign number six, you know how to look after yourself. You know how to look after yourself. You know what you need. You know, you've got a good level of self-awareness and you know how to prioritize self-care and what really works for you when it comes to self-care. So they're just some signs that you've probably got a good sense of resilience. Because the research shows at the heart of it, resilience really is about how good you are at managing stress. And the research shows that more than a third of employees feel stressed at work. And there's no doubt about it, stress impacts everything. Stress impacts our engagement, our productivity, our creativity, our performance, customer service, focus, our brain's ability to actually think clearly and make good decisions. And all of those things are everything that we need in business, right? Because at the heart of it, stress, this might sound a bit short or a bit blunt, but stress makes you dumb. Stress makes you dumb because of this thing called the amygdala hijack. And for any of those psychologists in training out there, you'll know what I'm talking about when I talk about the amygdala hijack. It's actually quite a good one to Google. I think it's Daniel Goleman. It's a Daniel someone. I'll put it into the link in the notes below. But he talks about the amygdala hijack, about how when we get stressed, our amygdala, which is like the emotional part to our brain, kind of like hijacks the brain and says like, all right, we don't need any of these other higher processing and reasoning parts of the brain because we are under stress, team. So I'm going to take the lead here and everyone else can go offline. And so the amygdala kind of just like hijacks all parts of the brain, like including those, you know, those decision-making higher level processing parts, which we need in business, right? So when we're stressed, it makes us reactive. and it stops us from being responsive. And there's a difference, right, between reacting and responding. And we want more of the responding because that's got more of that, you know, consciousness to it. And I probably don't need to tell you the impacts that stress has on us. I feel like it's in the news, it's everywhere these days. But, you know, stress impacts every part of us. Anxiety, depression, sleep, immune system, all the things. And the long-term impact of stress is something that we all really want to avoid. It's severe, it's burnout. And, you know, I've experienced burnout before. And it's a horrible place to be. And that's why I really wanted to talk about resiliency, because I'm going to introduce you to my resiliency formula, because if we can bring more of these practices into workplaces, we're going to help all employees around the world to recover and stay centered and stay calm and stay strong during times of uncertainty and challenge, right? And if things are going really well for your business right now, then that's bloody fantastic. And just know that, as research shows, it's not always going to be fantastic. And that's not me trying to be a negative Nancy, but, you know, the research shows that we have ups and downs in business, right? So even if things are going really well right now, maybe this is the best time to be cultivating some more, you know, pillars of resilience into your business. So, okay, let's talk about the resiliency formula. So my research brought together that resilience equals growth mindset plus self-care plus acts of discomfort to the power of purpose. So I'll repeat that one more time. Resilience equals growth mindset plus self-care plus tiny acts of discomfort to the power of purpose. So I'm going to explain all these different pieces to the formula right now. So growth mindset, you've probably heard me talk a bit about before. And, you know, mindset is really our belief system. It's how we see the world. And it's what we choose to believe as true for us. And when I run these workshops with teams on resilience, one of the things that I really like to share is that to remind people that they are already resilient just by them being in the room. You know, you are already resilient just by you being here. Like, you've already achieved so much. You've already learned so much. You've already grown so much. You've already been through so many challenges just by being here and being at this sort of stage in life, right? And one of the exercises that is really, really powerful that I get teams to do is to reflect just for a second on all that you have already achieved over the last 5 to 10 years. Like, think of all of the challenges that you've moved through already, all of your proudest moments, all of your biggest achievements, like from career to travel to friendships to family to financial, like all of the things that you've moved through, like you are already resilient just by you being here. And in a study done on resilience, what they found is that resilient people were those found to reframe their tough times as an opportunity for new learning. I'm going to repeat that again because it's really important. Resilient people were found to reframe tough times as opportunities for new learning. And, you know, I know this definitely to be true for me. Like, one of the things that really cultivated a strong sense of resilience for myself was you know, reflecting on one of the toughest times that I've ever been through, which was when I was battling anxiety in, you know, probably about a decade ago in one of my first corporate jobs. And, you know, in the moment, it was one of the hardest things that I'd ever been through. And now I can look back at that and I have reframed that as that experience as the thing that has actually transformed me into the person that I am today because of, you know, I had to go on this massive mission to learn everything that I possibly could about the mind and healing and psychology and meditation and all of these things to help me heal. And it ended up being like the most incredible learning opportunity for me in the world. And it's what led to me becoming a coach today and now sharing all of those learnings with everyone else. So that's kind of what they're talking about when they say like resilient people can reframe the tough time as an opportunity for new learning. And I think there's a real piece in here that I think is really, really important, perhaps even the most important, is that resilient people know that even if they fail, that they are not a failure. So resilient people know that even if you fail, you are not a failure. Because that's where the damage can really occur, is when we get out there, we try the new thing, we go for the award or, I don't know, try and strive towards a goal that's out of our comfort zone and, you know, maybe we don't get it the first time or the second time or the third time. And something that can be really damaging is that if a failure occurs, to then personalize that failure. And to make that failure about you actually being a failure, that there's something wrong with you. Because when we start talking in that way, that's when things can really spiral inwards and downwards. So resilient people know that even if you fail, so even if there's an event that doesn't go to plan, it doesn't mean anything about them as a person, right? So they're really good at not taking things too personally. You know, they're good at sort of like telling themselves like failure is feedback, failure drives growth, failure helps us learn and get better. So that's the first piece of the formula is the growth mindset piece. The second piece is acts of discomfort. And it was funny when I was in Bali a few weeks ago, or actually a few months ago, gosh, it was a while, I actually was speaking to my family about the fact that I had been invited to speak at this school about resilience. And I asked my family, what do you think cultivates resilience? And it was actually a really, really good conversation to have around the dinner table. And there was lots of really, really good ideas. And this one, I need to say, was an idea from my husband. He said that it's about acts of discomfort or getting outside your comfort zone and taking lots of little actions that make you uncomfortable. And I think he's absolutely bang on. And the research showed the same thing. Because when I run these workshops with teams, what I get them to do is once they've listed that, that list of proudest achievements, I ask them to circle the ones that required them to venture outside of their comfort zone ever so slightly or ever a lot. And more often than not, the achievements that we're most proud of are the ones that really forced us outside our comfort zone, which makes sense, right? Like I think that's what creates that sense of pride is that we, you know, we jumped outside our comfort zone and we did it. Like we achieved the thing. And I guess the opposite of that is, you know, never leaving your comfort zone and never growing, right? So the goal here is to get comfortable being uncomfortable. And when I run these workshops, I ask teams to make a list of all the things that give them a bit of butterflies in their stomach, like all the things that kind of scare them just a little bit, like whether it's public speaking, whether it's, you know, trying something new in terms of like a new service or product or going for an award or whatever it might be. And I ask everyone to choose just one thing from that list that they commit to completing in the next 30 days, because it's these little mini acts of discomfort that build our sense of resilience. The third part of the formula, the resilience formula, is about self-care. So this is about, one, knowing how to look after yourself, and two, actually doing the things. And the four key pieces of self-care that the research showed were the most powerful is having some sort of mindfulness practice, having a really strong support system that cares for you and that you can, you know, rely on, having some sort of play habit, and practicing gratitude. So mindfulness being about, you know, our ability to be calm and present in the moment and to not let our thoughts kind of, I don't know, dismantle us too much. So it could look like meditation. It could look like, you know, just practicing being present in your body, grounding. It's just about, you know, slowing down that chatty Cathy that we have in our brains or the inner critic, and allowing ourselves to be a bit more present, because then we can handle whatever's in front of us, right? The other part is support. So the research shows that resilient people know how to ask for help and that they're really good at tapping into collective wisdom rather than pretending to have all the answers. And in a study that was done, they showed that one of the biggest predictors of faring well after an adversity is actually about having people who cared for you. And one thing that resilient people do really well is that they seek support. So they actually use other people rather than not letting themselves need them. And out of all of the self-care pieces, this is one that I think will be a constant work in progress for me. You know, learning to rely on other people and to, you know, seek support. And it's such a powerful one. So I've got it on my list. The other piece is gratitude. So gratitude is about paying attention to the things that we have right now and not worrying and focusing about all the things that we don't have. Because, you know, we practice gratitude by noticing and training our brain to focus on the positives around us, because that's what helps balance out that negativity bias that we have built into our brains. And one of the things that I share in these workshops is that, you know, often negative experiences, they're like Velcro to our brain, like they're so sticky. Our brains love to hang on to all the negatives, and that positive experiences are often like Teflon, like they just kind of like, you know, float on by. And so gratitude is really good at helping rewire our brain to actually just like feel happier and more peaceful and, you know, fulfilled over time. And that there's so much research around the power of gratitude. The final piece is, and I'm going to quote Brené Brown here. So she says, "It takes courage to say yes to rest and play in a culture where exhaustion is seen as a status symbol." So good, right? Play is also a work in progress for me. I love it, but for some reason I find it hard sometimes to get into play, and I tell myself that I've got too much work to do and I've got too many things to do, but the power and the research around play is absolutely, it's like a no-brainer. It's shown to improve your sleep, release endorphins, give you energy, strengthen relationships, improve your brain, decrease stress, and all these like happy endorphins that you get can counteract, you know, any of those negative hormones like cortisol and all those stress ones. So prioritizing play, that is the goal. The final piece is purpose. And in my formula, I had acts of discomfort to the power of purpose, because I believe that the stronger your purpose is, the bigger the acts of discomfort that you can step into, because purpose is about connecting into something bigger than you. It's about having a goal or a dream that really inspires you and that can give you strength in the difficult moments and can help you really recover from the setbacks. And, you know, people with purpose are happier, less depressed, more resilient, more productive. They sleep better, they live longer, all the things. So that is my formula for resilience: growth mindset plus self-care plus acts of discomfort to the power of purpose. And if you feel like your team could really benefit from a workshop on resilience, I'd highly recommend it. Just reach out to me and I would love to come in and chat to you guys about it. Sending you all the love. I hope you enjoyed today's podcast. Thank you so much for listening to today's podcast. If you enjoyed, I would just love it if you took one little minute to leave a quick review or even to share this potty with a friend who you think might benefit from its message. It's honestly hearing your feedback that keeps me going and helps me spread the word to get in the ears of other people just like you who are going through similar challenges and keen for a little bit of inspiration. Thank you so much. I love you. I appreciate you, and I'll see you in the next podcast.